Oh, do the rest.
Clyde's back.
There's the old joke. Whee!
Bring Tom back.
I don't think you want him after the North London derby, to be honest. I think it'd be worse than me, I reckon.
I don't know.
But it's been a while, lads. How are we all? Good Christmases?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, it's all right. We've already had the chat, Clive. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but I've not spoke to any of you. You've all just forgotten about me.
You're on the other side of the planet. What a prick.
It's glorious. Thanks for asking.
I like how you pretend like the podcast is the only part of our life where we connect with each other.
We don't know each other outside of it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, do I want to know you outside of it?
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Follow us and swear about London is.
Oh, I did notice that you've got some more followers. Well done, Bob.
Which O is the zero,
Bob? I got one follower.
Second
did you?
One.
It counts.
How did you get a follower?
A customer.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It counts.
They all count. Every single one of them. Yeah, so well done, guys. Good work. Thank you very much, Bob. I want to say thank you to you for carrying the show whilst I've been away. And Tom, for being my substitute.
Do I get
Luke
paid
for being Luke for being Luke.
Yay.
And Mitchell for saying listen. What a moment that was.
That's so upsetting.
Generally had me in bits on Mike's my
editing.
Oh. Yeah, Mike done a great job there, didn't he?
By the pool with a pina colada and it made me spit a little bit out. It was good. I will back you up though. You didn't say it during the segment and that's all you said.
True.
I'm not going to say listen during the segment and you didn't. You waited.
I would have liked to have made the whole fucking episode, but okay.
It was good. But anyway, we've decided not to talk about football this week and we're going to talk about The Traitors season 3.
I know.
Insert
right.
Music, Mike.
Oh no, that's Shrekland's Den. Oh no,
that's The Apprentice.
Be careful on the copyright, guys.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about football, starting with Chelsea Bournemouth. Mitchell, go.
Traitors. Is it on?
I'd rather talk about it.
Season 3 started, Luke. Are you not?
No, I haven't.
Mate, there's like 9 episodes or something.
I haven't watched any episodes of any of it.
Damn it, I watch it on the plane.
Anyway, that's it for Chelsea Bournemouth. So back to
I mean, at least Reece James scored a goal. That's notable.
Yeah,
right?
I can't remember much. It was like a lifetime ago. You were still in another country.
I was
I
not.
Don't know. Was you not? So Chelsea was continuing the traditional Christmas form, if you like, which it does look like we have now passed, but we'll get to that later. It was an interesting lineup. I can't remember all of it. I just made a note at the time that Caicedo was put as a centre back. And he did an all right job there. Because I don't know what's going on with our injuries. I mean, we've got Fofana and Badiashile that have been out for a while.
You've just recalled someone from Shalabar. Loan as well, haven't you?
Yeah, Shalabar. And he had a good game tonight. Our weakest area is already struggling with injuries. I mean, you know all about that, Luke.
I mean, I think we all do. Like, there's not one team that isn't struggling with injuries.
Yeah, but woe is Tottenham on that front. I mean, come on.
We have got 12 out.
Again, other than Chelsea, they've got a billion players that don't really matter. So I think West Ham have got a fair share of injuries. I think Arsenal have got a fair share of injuries. I think Tottenham have got a fair share of injuries. So. But as Luke said previously and Tom said in my place, we're not going to make those excuses.
No. All right, I won't then. Yeah, I'm not saying it.
Very well, keep going.
I was going to do some moaning about Jackson. I remember that much. I'm reading my notes and I've said Jackson's name about a million times and that's just in my first half notes. The first note I wrote on him was like, I love slagging him off because then he normally does something. And he did, he got an assist. And it was
Cole Palmer's nice finish as well.
And this is the thing about Jackson, right? This is where I think his improvements have come compared to last season. Is his overall game is better. So for this goal, he gets it on the halfway line. He runs all the way up. He takes on the defenders. He has good strength. And then he gets the assist to Palmer. Palmer's always scoring. I love Palmer. He didn't score today, no, but he was involved in play. All right.
Not always scoring then, is he?
I almost said the word then. It's just Luke, you're going to confuse me. Jackson, oh my God, he had so many chances and easy chances, I would say. One where Madueke set him up and he's just got rid of target. You're so close to the goal and he skies it over. And there's a lot of scenarios like that. And you could tell by the end of the first half, the crowd are getting a bit shaky. They're getting a bit restless because they're like, come on, we've done this throughout the whole of winter. We have a strong opening 30 minutes and then we get nervy. We get that 1-0 lead and then we get nervy.
So I was gonna ask you about Madueke. He has kind of, like, and I know you rotate your wingers quite a lot, but he's not the same player as the first time you played Wolves, and I think he got the hat trick in that game, if I remember rightly.
Slagging him off.
Yeah, he's just like, and this is probably what separates him from top wingers in the country at the moment is the consistency, right? But do you think it's a him problem? Do you think it's a managerial kind of problem, not giving him a full kind of 5-6 games on the bounce?
Compare him to last season. He's getting a lot of game time and he has done quite a lot. I don't think, there's been one Chelsea player that's been consistently good throughout this winter period, and that's Palmer. Everyone else has fallen off the boil a little bit. All of the wingers have. And obviously Jackson Avenue.
Do you think that's maybe because it's too over-rotating players?
No, I don't think so. It's good competition. Because then when you do come back in, you want to kind of prove yourself. And that's the vibe I got tonight. Like he had a good game tonight, Madueke. Got another assist, really good ball in. I don't have a problem with that. I'm all right with that. We have got quite a lot of decent wingers. And I think Madueke has had quite a lot of game time compared to some of the others. And it helps that he's on the right because it's Sancho and Neto that are fighting on the left, aren't they?
But do you think Neto prefers it on the right, though, doesn't he?
I don't know. Did he used to play on the right for Wolves? He's naturally left-footed, isn't he?
Yeah. He used to play on the right for Wolves.
A lot of those wingers like to cut in, don't they? Saka and Martinelli both play on the opposite sides.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You might have tried him out on the right, but majority of the time he has played on the left because it's either him or Sancho that plays.
He moved him over to the right against Arsenal, didn't he? Because that's where he scored the goal from.
Gutted. I don't know. I think he's doing all right. I think, and he's, what is he, 21, 20? He's just going to keep improving. If he's this good already, he just needs to keep a clean head. Don't overthink. Don't try and do too much. Because I think he wants to be a Palmer, and he's not a Palmer, but play to your strengths. He keeps improving. I've got no problem. I've got no problem with rotation. And I think we're coming out of the shit Christmas period, and we're gonna smash City 4-0 next week.
prediction.
Luke said it before, and we all laughed at him. So I left it there.
That's true.
To finish off, I mean the second half. I thought it was just going to be another, you know, shit show where we just have the one shot, one goal, loads of misses. But then obviously Reece James comes back. Oh, love the boy. I did panic. I thought, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make this. You're going to last 20 minutes and you're going to come off injured. And then we get that get that free kick at the end of the game. And I'm thinking, who's going to take this? Because it's him and Palmer that are standing over it. And obviously, you know, you can trust Palmer. But, oh, Reece James' strike. Oh, beautiful. Bottom right. Power. Back in the game. 2-2. Didn't lose points.
You lost two points.
Game, Clive.
I mean, and don't get us wrong, Bournemouth are no mugs this season. They've taken points off of every top team other than Liverpool so far. So, I mean, I know you're at home, so you want to win your home games, but yeah, Bournemouth
don't want to lose.
And look at what they did to Newcastle.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's what gave me the confidence to go with my prediction against Wolves.
We're going to go over to, unless anyone else has got any questions for Mitchell about a game that he can't remember.
Chelsea.
To be fair, I can't remember it as well, so I have no questions.
We'll go over to the new manager bounce. Now that Lopetegui, or whatever his name was, is out.
What a great time to get rid of the turkey as well, right at Christmas.
Yeah, right at Christmas time. And Harry Potter is in.
Potter.
And you got a nice little bounce in a little derby with a 3-2 win, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good game, actually.
Crazy game.
Yeah, it's rare that I can actually say that about a West Ham game this season, but this was actually quite a good game. Fulham were a little bit all over the place. I think they kind of thought they were West Ham at one point. And just defensively just looked weird. What else happened in this game? I can't really remember. There was
my notes about it were at least Arsenal don't have either of those goalkeepers in goal anymore.
I mean, Fabianski definitely. I mean, Leno as well, but Fabianski for those two goals. Like, after those two goals, you just think, well, Fulham, just cross it and you will score. Because that's exactly what happened for our two goals. It came from a Fulham cross. No Fulham player got a touch on it, I don't think. Or there might have been a slight touch. And Fabianski just...
No, I think Iwobi's been given both goals.
Oh, bullshit. He didn't get a touch on... Oh, yeah. You're proving my point, yeah. So Iwobi crosses it two times.
Straight
and scores. So, that was a bit weird. Obviously, there was errors on their end as well. Leno took too long on the ball to allow Danny Ings to
the quickest player in the Premier League,
like a hero, to close him down. And I can't really remember what the other error is, but I know that the first goal was a bit of a goalkeeping error, and then our second goal was actually a really nice piece of play, and we kind of looked like Brazil from the 90s, momentarily. But yeah, it was a weird game. I think people can say, oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, Soler's goal. What a beautiful finish that was.
That was tidy.
Yeah. Which Bob, then surprised Bob was me that he got dropped.
Bob was messaging the WhatsApp group saying, shall we bring back the goal of the week competition, boys?
Do you know what? I forgot about that. But yeah, it was a good game. I say that, and now I'm coming on the podcast saying that I barely remember it. There was a couple of occasions that I do remember where Kudus was winding me up a little bit. I just feel like he's being a bit greedy at the moment. I don't know what he's trying to prove, but he's getting on my tits. So stop doing that, Kudus, if you're listening to the podcast, which I know you are.
Do you think he's playing to try and get a move now?
Maybe. Sell him. Let Potter work his magic. I don't give a shit. See what I did there?
Oh, we can all see what you did there, Bob.
But yeah, while we're talking about it, and because obviously we haven't had a podcast since Lopetegui gets sacked, what a fucking horrible way to send a manager out. It was absolutely disgusting.
How did they do it? I don't know. I just saw that he's gone.
Yeah,
well, basically, it got leaked online. Hours or a day before that, basically he was going out. Then people were showing pictures of Tim Stuyden or whatever the hell his name is.
Meeting with Potter or whatnot.
With Potter leaking pictures of that. And you just think, like, the way he's been treated, like, not only, yes, I get that people were not happy with the way that we were playing, and all of that kind of stuff. But like the way he's been treated the whole way through, the guy was destined to foul. Like literally within two games, the fan base were on his back. Even when we played well, they were saying negative things about him. It's just absolutely outrageous. And it made me disappointed to be a West Ham fan momentarily. So yeah, I just wanted to say that because it's pathetic.
I think like for me, I second that with a lot of people moaning about Arteta, and Luke will probably say the same about a lot of Spurs fans moaning about Ange. Like there's just subsections of fan bases that are just like, you think, what, why are you so entitled? Like I just don't understand it. I'll come onto it with the Arsenal fans when we talk about the Arsenal, but it's just bonkers. It's just bonkers.
It's just Arsenal,
yeah. Mate, it's every club, mate.
It's just Arsenal. No, I mean, it's not the Arsenal. It's Arsenal.
Oh, no, it's the Arsenal, mate.
No.
But any more about Fulham West Ham?
No.
Anyone else got anything to say?
Yeah, Fulham, Bob.
Yeah.
If they could put their chances away in that first half, before they started giving the ball away,
that could have
been a dangerous game. They looked really good at the first 20 minutes or so, and then they just did something crazy, and then you guys just, so it was just a weird game. That's what I thought in that game. I just felt like that could have been a different story.
They had over double chances that we had.
Yeah.
But I think we had much less shots on target and scored three, and that was the difference of the game.
Yeah.
But also, I do think we did a half-decent job in this game of keeping them at distance. I know they were having a lot of shots from outside the box and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were doing a good job our defenders were doing a good job when crosses were coming in. Fabianski was just avoiding the ball. That was the issue.
You
there.
Do know his nickname when he was at the Arsenal.
Flappy Hansky.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about this when we go to the Crystal Palace game, but we played a back four in this game. And I think it suited us more. I agree with you, Luke. There were definitely chances that Fulham probably should have put away, and it could have been a whole different scoreline, but they didn't, so I'm thankful for that.
I'm good.
Mitchell, any thoughts on Fulham West Ham?
Fuck West Ham.
That was very quiet, but he said fuck West Ham.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I had a little broke in my throat as I went to say it.
You had what in your throat?
Yeah, I was going to say. Jesus. This is a kid-friendly podcast, Mitchell. Keep it down.
So if no one else has got anything else about West Ham, let's talk about North London Derby, Luke.
I don't know if you talk to me about it. What do you want to know about it? You know?
Well, I'm going to start because Arsenal are the home team.
Oh, okay, go on.
And I want to first off debunk a myth by Thomas Donnelly that none of us goes games, because I've been to more games than him this season in his 2 weeks of going to games. But
typical Arsenal fans turn against each other.
That's it. I went and the atmosphere was electric to start off with. We started very quickly. We made a lot of chances, had a lot of corners to start the game, didn't really do anything. Your goalkeeper, he looks a lot more comfortable with corners than Vicario or Fraser Foster.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he punched away four or five before we scored. And I was relatively impressed with him up until we started differing on the ball. And he did cause a lot of the pressure by having to rush his passes out, which we then capitalised on. Or I think Havertz, he got very lucky against Havertz on probably one or two occasions where Havertz actually got a block, but the ball didn't then just fall to his feet.
He's used to a different league though, isn't he, where it's slower.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think you signed him on the Saturday or the Sunday, and he played three games.
That's it, yeah.
Like the Arsenal game was his third game. So, yeah, he's going to take a bit of time to adjust. And the fact that he didn't get punished for those little bits of different on the ball has probably helped speeding his learning process up, right? Because he's made a mistake, but yeah, you've not really been punished for it.
No.
But yeah, then we get you get the goal, a bit of a deflection on a Son shot where we didn't really close him down quick enough. And it went a little bit flat in the stadium for a few minutes, but then we got behind the team again. And the inevitable corner goal come.
Corner? Was it?
Yeah, it was a corner, and it was an own goal. Dominic Solanke scoring for his boyhood club, right? And then getting injured for many weeks afterwards. And then Trossard's goal. Your goalkeeper's a bit like, he should do better, but there is a nasty bounce just before, like, he's made the angle right, and he would save it if it wasn't for the bounce.
Groundwork, mate.
It worked for us, mate. No. And he's probably dug in his little fucking foot marks, hasn't he? Like all goalkeepers do. So your goalkeeper's to blame.
I'm blaming fucking us for giving the ball away, and then I'm blaming the goalkeeper. You know, it's not just the keeper's fault. Like, you could, like, if Thomas shot Partey from the halfway line and scored, fair enough. But like,
Thomas Partey's made a very, like, again, you don't want your defensive midfielders losing the ball in the middle of the pitch.
Well, no, he didn't need to do that.
But Partey did close him down well.
Well, two of them were closing down, and he just didn't release it soon enough. That's the problem. Just
but then you've got that throughout the team at the moment, and I know
that's all we keep doing.
I know that you'll probably speak about Spence, and he has been very good since coming into the team
but he
holds the ball too long at times.
Yeah,
and I guess the manager's saying don't hoof it, don't get it out. But like, he's playing on the opposite side. It's not his strongest side, right? And he's playing very well. So when he's playing on that side, he's not always going to be on his strongest foot. So at times he's just got to get rid of the ball. Like, and he needs to make that decision on the pitch. Like, I don't think you've conceded many goals from like a direct Spence not getting rid of the ball yet.
Oh no, we're not conceded from any errors from Spence. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but I can see it happening if he keeps, as I say, I like to use the word differing tonight for some reason, differing on the ball. And like, your midfielders should be giving him options and helping him out. But if they're not, just get rid of the ball. Like, just punt it. Get it out. But yeah, other than that, I think we should have punished you. We should have scored a couple more goals. We didn't. It ended 2-1. The second half was a bit drab. You come out and you was a bit better in the second half. I think you still wasn't great. Arsenal wasn't great. I think at the moment we've got this wall at the 60 minute mark. If teams stay in the games with Arsenal to the 60 minute mark, Declan Rice is then puffing and Martin Odegaard's then completely puffing. We're taking Martinelli off, which then leaves us with no counter-attacking presence, which I'm beginning to feel is a real, real big problem. Because a lot of teams, when they sit back and give the opposition the ball, you then have the chance of a counter-attack. And at the moment, we haven't got that pace, so we can't do that. We just slow down the game so much. But we was deserving winners. I think Tottenham were a bit lucky to only lose 2-1, if I'm honest. Thoughts, Luke?
You pretty much hit the nail on the head, and I don't say that often. We were poor from the get-go. We were just poor. We had some chances. We could have scored a couple of them, but you're going to get chances because that's just the way that we play. We hit the post, probably hit the post as well. Near the end, Kuzeski could have scored. It's just one of those things that you look in the game and you feel like there was chances there, as well as chances that Arsenal had if they could put in the back end there. But you're going to get those in a derby. Those things just happen. If you shot, you don't expect to score. Well, players always expect to score every time they shoot. Yeah, but in football, it doesn't work like that because everyone's professionals. Yeah, you shoot, keeps going to save it, or it's supposed to, it's crossbar, deflection, however it is. those chances happen. It's just I got frustrated with that game is that, yes, we created chances and okay, we didn't put them away, fair enough. It was the fact of the matter was that you guys dominated that game in that first half that frustrated me so much. Well, yeah, we're playing away. I think there was a stat, wasn't it, Clive? I don't know if you saw it before the game. It was like we've only beat you once at your granny, like 31 or something, 30 plus.
Yeah, it's just a long, long time.
So you look at that and you'll be like, okay, you can look at all the managers we've had in that time in those 30-odd games. We've probably had like 15, 20 managers and only one manager's won.
Yeah, and over, say, the course of over the last 3 years, so that space between, say, 3 years ago and 6 years ago, you arguably, well, not even arguably, you had a better squad. You'd argue that you should have turned up. You never expect to win. Well, no, that's a lie. You sometimes expect to win a London derby, but they would have been your better chances. At the moment, you look at our squads, even with the injuries in both squads, I expect Arsenal to win at the moment. I think we've got the stronger squad. And that's just how it is at the moment. Going to your place, it's a harder game for sure. But even so, if we've both got our first choice team out, I still expect to beat you at the moment.
I think if we turn up at a team that beat Man City away from home and we were playing, and we played that way against you, you would have got smashed. It's just the way that Tottenham play. Even the game we played at home last time, it was all over you. It was just you got lucky from a shitty corner. We should have won that game. So, and that was the way that we were playing really well at that part of the season. We were playing really good attacking football. We just weren't putting our chances away. And everyone could see that. Everyone was enjoying watching Tottenham. Now we've just turned into this team that's just... And I'm going to mention this. It is because of the injuries. I know, obviously, you mentioned... Before, I was like, we can't keep blaming injuries. But I'm looking at it now, and I'm sitting there like, okay, we have like four.
He's changing his mind.
I'm changing my mind because it's piling up. It's not a case of like we've now got our back four out. Yeah, we are missing. I'm going to read it out here for the fans here. We've got Vicario out. Udogie's out. Van de Ven's out. Christian Romero's out. Basuma's out. Bentancur's out. Brian Johnson's out. Timo Werner's out. Brennan Johnson. Werner's out. Odebert's out. Solanke. Fraser Foster, fair enough. Yeah.
Can someone text me after he's done, please?
Yeah. this is what I'm saying. You know, all these players are out. And it's not like these players are not going to be starting for Tottenham. They're going to be starting for Tottenham. And it's frustrating. No, fuck you and your fucking 100 players. Yeah.
But it's
a struggle now because now we're looking at it and there is a lot of injuries now in important areas.
I think we touched on it in the WhatsApp group and other people were a bit more vocal than I was. Everyone's got injuries other than Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah, has anyone at this point in time...
Bournemouth had 9 first-choice players available against Newcastle and beat Newcastle 4-1 away from home.
Well played to them.
So, and Arsenal have got... tons of injuries as well.
Go on, list them. List your main first.
Tomiyasu, Ben White, Gabriel Jesus, Nouari, Saka, Tomiyasu. Everyone's got injuries. Adding players twice. Who did I say twice?
We've got Tomiyasu. We've got 11 first team players out at the moment, Clive. That is mental. Yeah, not even for you guys, I haven't got 11. Yeah, and even you could bring up Bournemouth. I've got 9. We've still got 11.
Bournemouth had 9 first choice players to like the whole squad.
We've got 11.
I think you are unlucky, but your manager is to blame for some of them.
I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that Ange is to blame. Yeah, he's not to blame. I'm just saying that he's got to work with what he's got. He's bringing the youth players in and giving them time because that's the best thing he can do right now. What else can we do?
And all the pundits, last year when we had injuries as well, and this season when I can't remember who we played, and Gary Neville just before the game said, you can't use injuries as an excuse. You can't use injuries as an excuse.
Not when you had like 2-3 players out. Yeah, you like I said,
can't use injuries as an excuse.
As I put in the chat, yeah, you guys crumbled. Yeah, when Saliba was out that season where you were supposed to win it. It's like, oh, if Saliba weren't injured, we would have won it. Next season, Saliba was fit, didn't win it. This season, okay, you're picking up some points again. You've got a fit squad. You've had injuries. You've had the odd injury here and there. You've not had like 5-6 players or 12 players out from your main squad that this then made you lose points. Because that's what you would have said. Let's be honest. You would have been at the top of the league. Let's say you was leading the league. Saka would have got injured. Odegaard would have got injured. Tomiyasu, Ben White,
they
all
both
injured.
Did get injured.
Yeah, but
they
I'm just saying still injured where you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have lost points. Your fans would have come out and went, it's Arteta. No, they would have said, oh, mate, Saka's been out.
No, that's what's happening. The people were blaming Arteta rather than the injuries. That's exactly what's happening. And to some extent, two players out. No, it's not just two players, but the reason why people go at Arteta is because he's, and I said it, and we'll touch it in a minute, but
unlikable.
He's unlikable, apparently. Yeah. But he, like, instead of trusting some of the players he's got on the bench, he's playing players out of position, like Thomas Partey at right back. And I've been a big Thomas Partey fan all season long. I think he's one of the better players in the squad, certainly when he's playing in his natural position. But at right back, he does come a little short. And again, I'll touch on it when we talk about the Villa game, but he played two players out of position when all he needed to do was play one player out of position. Now, Ange and Tottenham's injuries, like it was said in the chat earlier, is like he's the person to blame for your centre halves being injured for as long as they are because he's brought them back too early. Maybe the medical team said you're bringing them back too early, but the players also would have said, yeah, I'm fit and ready to play. So that's then a managerial decision to say, well, no, I'm going to listen to the medical staff and not play you.
But there's no evidence for that. We don't know. This is what I was trying to say in the chat.
It's speculation.
It's speculation as to they could have been fit and then they've been like, yep, they're back, they're ready. Maybe 60, maybe 45 minutes, 60 minutes. And then we would have to take them off. I don't know. We're not in there. We're not in the room.
Rotate them. Play one of them for 60 minutes and see how he gets on rather than they've just both come back from injuries.
The coaches may have said, fine, this is what we don't know. Because all we see in the news is that they're back from injuries. They could have been back 2 weeks. Don't forget, these players, they come back like a week or two before, but they do light training exercises up until the game. So they could have been back for 2 weeks and trying to get match fitness before playing into the game. We don't know. And I feel like we can't speculate that without actually speaking to Andrew Gunn.
We can have an opinion on it.
We can have an opinion, but I feel like in this opinion, it's up in the air completely. It's not even like, we can't be 90% sure that that was exactly what it was. We're now looking at 50-50 between the coaches and Ange. Well, it's true, isn't it? When we speculate stuff, it's normally because it's more...
Do you know if they're Ange's coaches? Did he bring them with him?
I don't know. I'm not sure. They normally do. I don't know.
So, I mean, again...
Oh, so you're going to blame Ange because his coaches have said...
No, yeah, but if they are his coaches, again, that is on him.
I'm blaming the whole fucking... everything at Tottenham right now. So someone's... As I said in the chat, it's like something's going on at Tottenham that I don't know if we're cursed, you know? I have no idea. But these fucking players just keep getting injured every week.
We had quite a well-documented issue with one of our training pitches once where loads of our players getting knee injuries until Barcelona had a similar thing until they relayed one of their training pitches. Maybe there's something in that as well. Like it could be something that stupid, but yeah.
They are Ange's coaching staff, by the way.
So it's Ange's fault.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, mate.
Yes, Bob. Are you looking down at the floor when you say that and not paying any attention to anything else?
Yeah. A familiar story. What the fuck are you talking about?
A horrible way to start an interview.
Bob. With that team, though, look, I know we're going to talk about the Everton game later on, but even with those injuries, would you expect to be dominated, especially in the first half, by Everton, who, bear in mind, before that game, had only scored 15 goals?
Before you answer that, are we done with a North London derby, Luke?
We've done as soon as you started, mate.
6 points this season. Get in there, the Arsenal.
Well done. And still won't win nothing, but that's fine.
Well, we're still in the Champions League, aren't we?
Won't still get nothing from it.
Possibly.
No, definitely.
But we've beaten you twice this season, so get in.
I don't know why you're happy about it.
Well, because I'm happy we'll win any game.
Oh, no.
Any game.
You're overly happy. But it's fine. We know where your limits are.
We just know that you don't know what it feels like to win games at the moment, do you? So.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. You are in the fourth round after beating Townsworth. In extra time, right?
You're talking about us in a cup run. Fuck off being Arsenal. Yeah. Go back and look at your last four seasons.
I've got him. Got him, boys.
Fucking knobbers. Knobbers. Arsenal fans.
Knobbers.
Oh, we're so good. Fuck off. Right, I can't wait to win fuck all this season.
We'll be in the same boat you've been in for 20 years.
Well, maybe, but we're winning something this year. You heard it here first.
We heard it from Ange first. I always win something in the second season, mate.
Well,
yeah, you're going to get the fucking wooden spoon, mate. That's what you're getting.
We'll win you wearing an Arsenal shirt at the end of the season.
That's not agreed.
Right, yeah, go to Tottenham and I'm having too much fun.
I don't know what you want to know about the game. What was your question, Bob?
Well, I was just saying, with those injuries that you've got, would you still expect it? Because in the first half, let's face it, you were completely dominated by them. Would you expect that, even with the injuries that you've got?
Oh, Bob, what a question. No.
I mean, Everton do have the Messiah.
They don't know who the fuck you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about, mate.
David Moyes. They got the man. Is that what the myth, the legend?
They call him that, do they? For fuck's sake.
Moyes, yeah. He's a champion of Europe. He knows where he is.
Yes, and you still sacked him.
Technically didn't sack him.
Didn't sack him, yeah.
Okay. How do I answer that? No, Bob. There's no way. Not with the players that started in that game. Yes, players are playing out of position for Tottenham at the moment, but that performance was shocking because if, for instance, we're playing like that since all the injuries, if we were playing that bad every single game, we have been losing, draw, whatever it is for the last few games. So it looks like we are seeing that at Tottenham at the moment. We just can't get a win.
It is loss, draw, loss.
Yeah, exactly. So looking at that and being like, okay, there is obviously something going on there. Because if you look when we had a full squad, there might have been the odd loss, the odd draw, and then win-win, and that sort of thing. So, yes, it's starting to look bad. It's not like Ange has gone and changed his tactics because, you know, Ange is like, it's who we are, mate, you know?
Did he change his tactics for the second? I didn't watch it.
No, he changed
personnel.
He changed personnel and just went more attacking. That was it. He just went, changed personnel and just went more attacking.
That's exactly what he did against Arsenal as well. He was like, half time, all right, let's rip Basuma and Sarr off and put Madison and
That's exactly what he done. He did this. He put Madison on. And, Madison started. I think he brought, he took someone off. I can't remember the game now. He took someone off. And yeah, we just played attacking. So they just top them, mate. There's space there. There's so much space on that pitch. And they just find teams just find the space, and Tottenham just don't know what they're doing, and we get a bit unlucky with an own goal again. They shit football, and then they turn up in the second half.
I can remember the Calvert-Lewin goal. Like nobody.
That was a great
nobody
finish.
Got a tackle in though. Like it's a great finish, and the ball control is good, but. Like again, if you had Romero or you had Van de Ven, you'd expect someone to get a tackle in there.
They keep dropping off, and this is what I'm noticing with these players because Archie Gray's not a defender, so and Dragosin he's been there a year now, and yes, he's getting more game time now because of the other injuries and stuff. But he's not playing like you would do in a Premier League. You watch people like Van Dijk, where when backing off, they back off. But what they're doing, they're constantly watching the player. And they're constantly watching exactly what movements go and anticipating those movements just because of their, you know, their ability to read the game.
It's a very, very hard comparison to make a world-class centre-half.
But when you've got like Romero, who does that, who's a World Cup winner and phenomenal, Yeah, yes, he jumps in on challenges like he wants to break people's legs, but there's no disputing that he is a world-class defender. When you've got someone like him that gets those challenges in and makes those tackles, that doesn't back off and back off, back off, back off. Dragerson kept backing off, backing off, backing off. And the player just went round him like as if he wasn't even there and then scored a goal. It's just like, that's terrible defending. Just go to him. Like even when I play with you, Clive, in defence, one of us are shouting at each other, like, go for the ball, go to the ball. You know, There's none of that. The Tottenham players are not doing that because you look, watch that game.
That's going to be the youth and experience.
Yeah, it's right? The youth and experience.
And there's no leader in that team at the moment without Van der Ven and without Romero.
Exactly.
Like, who is your leader? Son's not a captain. Odegaard's not a captain, really.
He's not. He's just got it because he's been there that long. And you look at that and you feel like, I think Gray was behind him. Someone has to look at the highlights, but someone was behind him and could have told him to go to the ball sooner, but they didn't. And then obviously the player's gone through and got the goal. And then I can't remember their second goal. But it was just probably another bullshit thing again with Tottenham. And then in the second half, we turn up because we went all attacking and they dropped it a little bit, as Everton have been doing this season. And then we got the two goals. And the third just didn't come. Didn't have enough time.
I mean, for me, Everton probably got nosebleed. I can't remember the last time they were 3-0 up at half time against anyone.
No, not at all.
2017, I think it was.
It's tough.
They said it. Yeah.
I'm loving the fact that you're coming with these stats, Bob.
It's Tottenham. I hate the stats at the beginning where it's like, oh yeah, this player hasn't scored in 2-3 years. Player comes on for the last 2 minutes of the game, scores a goal from the halfway line. That's against Tottenham. You know, that's what happens at Tottenham. Teams will just play a player that has got the shittest stat known to man. They'll play him and he'll go and score. That's just the way it works at Tottenham. I fucking hate stats. Or it's like, oh, Tottenham have never lost against Everton in the last 25 years. Bam. Thank you for that. Thanks, commentators. We needed to hear that and then lose.
Just for the joke's sake as well.
Go on.
Are you in a relegation battle?
No, fuck off. Relegation battle. Well, if we lose,
Are you 15th in the league?
We can still go top four, statistically.
I think you are absolutely dreaming now.
I mean, always the optimist, Spurs fans.
if you get into a European spot from this position, you've had a good season. Your only hope is to go all in on the Europa Cup or whatever it's called.
Exactly that. What's interesting is imagine if Man City now go and win the league. They seem to be picking up some points.
Like, let's not rule it out because they have made some great comebacks before. But I honestly don't see Liverpool dropping at least 12 points they need to drop for any other team to win the league now.
No, I can't. I mean, unless they're playing Forest every week, then I can't see it. I'm disappointed, Bob. Disappointed with Tottenham. Disappointed with. I would have expected that the youngsters are putting in the effort. Like when Bergvall looked really good again. You're seeing these youngsters come in and they're putting the effort in, but unfortunately, as you said, Clive, they haven't got the experience. Like they're all running with like headless chickens and they're putting the work rate in and they're looking sharp and looking good, but they don't have that Premier League proper experience that can get them over the edge. You know, when to make those runs, when to make those tackles. Even Kulusevski was doing it.
None of the players in that squad know how to dig deep I'm not going to say relegation battle because I don't honestly believe that, but in tough games where you need to really rely on just grit and determination, none of them have got that experience. None of them know that.
No, they don't. They don't have it. You know, Jed Spence has been my player. I touched on that earlier on, but he's been my favourite player. I've been wanting him to play. I watched him in pre-season and he was getting assists. He was running up and down that line. He's just so quick as well. But he's good at tackling. He's good at holding the ball up, as you saw. Yes, he's decision making in terms of trying to beat too many players because he plays on the wing. He plays on the right, but he's trying to do that sort of stuff in dangerous areas, at a left back position. And he's been on loan a few times in different leagues, and his attitude's been a problem. But he seems to be sorting himself out. And
I remember he kind of made a name for himself against Arsenal. In the third round of the FA Cup for Forest when he was on loan there from Norwich, I think. And they knocked us out in the third round. It was the first season we wore that crappy fucking white shirt that we wear.
Were you wearing it the other day when you lost against, you know?
Yeah, well, we've not, I think we've won one game in it so far. It really makes us look like Tottenham in every way, shape and form, so we just got to bin it off, stop wearing it. It's for a good cause, but fucking hell, it's not doing us any favours.
What is it, but a knife crime, man?
Yeah, it's they obviously, to make awareness of blood, I think it is, they take the red out of the kit to symbolise blood or some bollocks.
What if you've got white blood?
Exactly. Just go not wearing shirts at all. But I think Wrighty interviewed him after that game and he said, to play the level that you play there, you should be a Premier League footballer. And well, I don't want him to be a Premier League football player at a good level for Tottenham. But I mean, if you stay in the bottom half of the table and he plays 5 years for you, I'd take that. but yeah, I've not watched him fully yet. I kept an eye on him against Arsenal. He wasn't really, he didn't have much to do against us. He was up against, I think, Sterling, who did very little that game, and then Martinelli for the last 10 minutes. But Martinelli prefers playing on the other side, so he didn't even really get at him at all. So like, again, he was probably your better defender in the game, but he didn't really have to do anything.
Get Sterling quiet, mate. That's all that matters.
I mean, everyone keeps Sterling quiet at the moment. Yeah. I think he's kept quiet in the Carling Cup games that he's played for us as well, like against Bolton and teams like that. So yeah.
But I'm going to say it now. No, I don't want Ange out, if anyone asks me the question.
I was going to lead to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you might do. I don't want him out. I feel fans maybe listen to this, if there's any Tottenham fans listening to this, you know, they might be like, oh, fucking hell, he's done this, he's done that. And I just, again, we go back to the same conversation I said in the last 2, 3, 4 podcasts when the questions came up. It's just, no, I don't want to do this whole rigmarole of no manager in, new coaches in, new training in, players need to adapt to this. Oh, we need to get new players signed in. Oh, these players are going to go because they're pissed off with this manager. We just don't need this whole again. There's just another 200, 300 million down the drain at Tottenham just because a manager wants to come in and change everything again because they feel like it's the way Tottenham should be.
Yeah, but you're sticking with, I get what you're saying, but you're sticking with the one that's, what, done the worst for you out of all of these managers that have come in?
You know what, mate?
That's an awful run.
Do you know what? I feel like, can it really get any worse? We ain't won fuck all in how long? Yeah, we're still in like 3 cups at the moment. And
fucking West Ham,
no,
I love you.
Yeah, no, I know. We're still there. And how about we let the manager try and build something for one? I mean, how many years do you feel like a manager should have? And are you just going to go off of that? So a manager comes in. So let me just finish this. A manager comes in to the team. Yeah, he's got. Depending on when he comes in, he's got to have the preseason. He's got to have the training for the team. Get his thing across to the squad. That could take a year, half a year, however long it takes. Yeah. Then the next season, you like hopefully start seeing improvements, but maybe some mod, some mod transfers. And then what? The third season, we should start seeing.
Oh, just didn't. Well,
he hasn't even had that yet.
Marisca's in 6 months.
Yeah, but Marisca's got unlimited fucking funds, mate. Like, yeah. That's not a joke. The difference with Chelsea and Tottenham at this moment in time is you generally have a player that could be world-class in Cole Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Tottenham haven't got any world-class players in attacking areas whatsoever.
No, well, no. And no one that looks like they really give a shit. At least Palmer's like, yes, he is world-class, but he wants to be world-class.
He's going to be knocking on the door, like, yeah. for sure. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, I'll say Kulusevski has, like, he, other than Jed Spence, are the players that are playing well for Tottenham. He's not had a massive impact the last couple of games, but he doesn't stop trying. Like, he does bust a gut.
Yeah, he's in two positions. Ange just keeps putting him attacking midfield, right midfield, and on the wing. Yeah. Right, yeah. And it's just like, well, the guy's got to adapt every single... Well, he doesn't even know what fucking position he's playing until he gets to the game. And then it's just like, well, what do you... So he trains 1 week to play on the right against one team, plays another in the centre for another team. It's just like the guy's... everywhere. And I like that about him because he gets back and defends. But like sometimes you just want that player.
You want a bit of consistency.
Yeah,
right?
a bit of consistency, yeah, in those positions as to like who do we play? Madison's going to play there? Or is Kulusevski going to play there? And depending on Ange's mood that day, he may swap him. So I don't know, but again, I'm only speculating on that.
Anything else about Tottenham, boys?
I could go on all night.
I don't know. I don't know if we need to talk about any other results, to be honest. but let's go to West Ham Palace, Bob.
That Mina's doing all right in Traitors, isn't she?
I think Charlotte might stitch her up a bit, though.
Yeah, I think that as well. Anyway, is it Chelsea next, is it?
No, we're going to talk about West Ham versus Palace. Oh, the new manager bounce, right?
Yeah. Lasted long, didn't it?
Lost his magic.
It didn't. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. Weren't good, really. First half was the most boring half of football ever.
You've made that comment a couple of times this podcast year.
Oh, yeah. But I mean it every single time. So this one just succeeded the previous ones. I must admit, I made my man versus AI prediction, which I will not disclose yet because Clive's going to do that at some point. And I instantly regretted it. knowing that obviously from an attacking point of view, I mean, you lot talk about injuries, right? Let me get my list out. but we've got no Antonio, we've got no Bowen, we've got no Somerville who pulled up against Villa, no Fulkrug who actually started. Do you know what? Against that, I'm just going to talk about the Villa game in the cup quickly.
No, that's all gone and done, mate.
Shut up, Clive. Sorry, I forgot I'm not in charge anymore. But Fulkrug actually started that game half decent. And he looked like he was closing down and he sprinted and pulled his hamstring. So,
Alan Anderson.
Yeah. So, up front, we have just got nothing really available to us. And I've said on this podcast before, I don't see where the goals are coming from. And at the moment, I definitely don't see it.
Who's playing false nine? Is it Kudos now? I don't know.
Well, Kudus played false nine in the
Palace game,
yeah. And then we played Paqueta up front in the Fulham game. It was kind of unconvincing against Palace. I think against Fulham, we worked the press a bit better. Against Fulham as well, we started, like I said earlier, with a back four. And then in this Palace game, we started with a back three, which I don't know if that changed it a little bit. I think they pushed Wan-Bissaka and Emerson up a little bit further. But I think what that did was, which we saw in Palace's first goal, that there was just a load of space when we pushed a bit too high up and Mateta caught us on the counter. Really good finish, actually. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah,
nice finish. Now, obviously, we've got another player missing. Mavropanos gets sent off. No arguments about that. The kick that he done against Mateta again.
Yeah,
I think.
Just high foot, wasn't it? Yeah. Nasty.
It was like something out of Cobra Kai. and then, obviously, we gave a penalty away. Old Flappy Hansky.
Against Eddie.
Yeah, against Eddie, who actually looks really lively when he came on. I think he was doing a really good job of exploiting our high line when we press forward. He got through on goal, actually, and I think he should have scored another one. But what the hell was that?
Cheers, Luke.
You're welcome.
So bored of Bob, he's put some music on.
I know, right? Yeah. But like, what can I say? We lost and the bounce is over. Like, it's, you know, I'm already seeing things on, and I know I shouldn't go on Twitter, and I know I keep talking about it, but I've already seen things on Twitter about
Potter out.
Not even Potter out, but like, that was a worse performance than what we had under Lopetegui, you know. I'm going to not pay attention to that in future podcasts. But yeah, we could have done better, but I think with with the injuries that we've got in forward positions.
Can't blame injuries, Bob.
No, I'm not blaming it. I'm just
no, you can.
Accepting it.
No, you can blame it.
You've changed your tune since I went on holiday.
Don't listen to Arsenal fans, mate. You know, guarantee it. There'll be a season where they're like, oh, injuries. Oh, so
mate,
oh.
I'm just saying it because it's what gets chucked at us as it
because
is.
Because you guys always moan about
why
it.
Why is me?
Yeah.
Exactly. That is it.
We're just copying Arsenal.
But yeah, just for clarity, I wasn't blaming them. I was just accepting the fact that we have Danny Ings up front as our best option, or a false nine.
I mean, he's better than Antonio, though, isn't he?
No.
Ings is better than Antonio.
I mean, currently.
I mean, right now he is.
I mean, Ings is better than Antonio. Shit.
No, he's not.
He's shit.
Watch him, Luke.
I've watched him, mate. All he's got is a big upper body and a bit of pace. He can't finish for toffee, mate. Mate, he's terrible. Like, he doesn't even get on the wall. How many goals a season does he score? Like, 8?
Yeah, like 9 to 10, I would say. But it's not all about that, is it? It's not all about that.
Fucking Nicholas Jackson's better than him.
Mate, do you think your defence would be able to handle him at the moment?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, at the moment they would because he's in a wheelchair, but let's.
Well, actually, I'm not sure.
That's probably an improvement, to be fair. He's fucking useless.
He has got good upper body strength, to be fair.
I don't know who's better, Troy Deeney or him, to be fair.
Troy Deeney?
Fuck, you know.
Hey, yeah, but he's obviously injured, so I don't know why we're talking about him. And also, look, we're still 2 points above you, so go
ahead. Okay. All right. I just know what the end result's going to be at the end of the season. You'll still be below us, so I'm not worried.
18th, 19th.
It's just a side bet going on here.
I put a BFC bet down.
Nah. I'm just enjoying it while I can, to be honest.
I'll leave it.
anyone want to weigh in on West Ham versus Palace? Absolutely not.
I love the fact that this guy is laughing at me from Luton's Palace when he literally got dominated by Everton. They just got 15 goals
crazy.
Before that game.
He has triggered goals. Every single West Ham fan that listens about his Antonio rant. Don't worry about that, Bob.
You're lucky he didn't start on Bowen.
Why? What you got to say about Bowen? Go on.
I don't know. He's dating a really hot woman.
Oh, okay. No argument.
What did you think I was going to say, Bob?
Well, no, I just thought you was going to kick off about him.
No, so. I like Bowen, it's all right.
Well, that's nice to hear.
All right, let's move to Arsenal Aston Villa. Another game where... Like, this is the one that made me talk about Thomas Partey and playing out of position. Like, I don't understand why when you got Julian Timber there... You're playing both players out of position. Put Timber at right back, put Thomas Partey at centre half if you need to, or even put Declan Rice at centre half if we were that desperate. He clearly doesn't, like Arteta doesn't trust Kirior because we've got centre half on the bench. Like, yeah, very, very frustrating in that sense. It was one of those games where we really didn't make many chances. A lot of corners again, funny enough. Martinez did have to make two saves before we scored. We were cruising at 2-0, looking very, very comfortable. But even then, I'd say any time they countered, they looked like they was going to create a chance and they looked dangerous on the counter. The two shining lights from the performances were Miles Lewis-Skelly, who again had a great game against Tottenham as well, playing at left back against I don't know who started out at right wing, but in the second half I think he was up. It might have been Kulusevski in the Spurs match, and then Johnson.
I don't think I've seen him have a bad game.
He hasn't yet. Touch wood. He's just fitted into the squad. He's not a natural left back. He's actually a midfielder, which kind of explains why he's so comfortable on the ball and taking the ball from defence into midfield. And Declan Rice was non-stop. Like, there's no way anyone can kind of point a finger at Rice and say that he's not doing his job.
Fuck him, he's dead to me.
Marino, it was probably one of his better games for Arsenal so far. But again, having Partey at right back, and a lot of people have kind of pointed the finger at him for the Ollie Watkins goal, letting his man drift. But if you watch the replays again, he's playing the offside trap. So the whole defence, other than Gabriel, who's been Arsenal's best defender all season, all step out, and Gabriel was playing Watkins onside, and he's a centre, like he's a midfielder, so he's naturally going to want to close down the ball on the edge of the box rather than track the runner, or like his natural mindset is going to be, oh, there's going to be someone behind me to deal with that. But it was just, both goals were poor to concede. I do think there was a bit of nastiness in the game as well, which gave it a bit of an edge, which I don't mind. Kai Havertz got a decent goal, but it's just, we just took our foot off. And I said it earlier, like, if you're only 2-0 down against Arsenal at the moment, and we've got the defence that we've got, you're in the game at 60 minutes, because Declan Rice is still not 100%. Odegaard is clearly still not 100%. And if we take the foot off the gas a little bit and start letting the opposition have a bit of possession, we don't have the pace, other than Martinelli, to hit people on the counter attack. We slow the game down so much because everyone's trying to join in. Like, Havertz will run and run and run all game long, so he's not got the gas to get into the area late on. And against Villa, we had a couple of chances real late. Trossard had a couple that we didn't really capitalise on. And then we had the rightly disallowed goal, which, yeah, it's just a bit unlucky. So that's really it with the Arsenal Villa game. It was a bit disappointing. And it's only disappointing because we was 2-0 up. Like, again, Villa are a decent team. I bet you did. When you're 2-0 up at home, you should see that game out. But that's my take.
It was doubly enjoyable sitting next to fellow podcaster Tom and watching him
claim that it was a handball for so long.
And then just seeing him die when they equalised.
Yeah, it was, again, great finish by Watkins as well. Arsenal are desperate to look for a player of that kind of ilk. So, I don't know if any of your clubs are going to panic buy in this transfer. Oh, Chelsea won't, because they've got brilliant players. But Arsenal definitely need to get a couple of people in the door at the moment.
Need a fucking goal scorer.
Yes, and we need a little bit more cover in attacking areas. Like Trossard, I think I was reading earlier that goals that were shared around last season, at this point, Trossard had 12. I think he's got 2 this season. Martinelli is starting to get there again. I think he's only a couple short of where he was last year. Odegaard's got 2 where he had 8 or 9 last season. So we need help in attacking areas at the moment. And my optimism that Sterling would be able to come on and do something, the last 2 games I've watched, his legs are just gone. He's not got the ability to beat a player anymore. So when the ball goes out to him again, he just stops, walks for a minute with the ball at his feet, and then passes it into the centre rather than trying to beat a defender on the outside or anything. So, yeah, we're desperate to get 1 or 2 attacking options in my opinion. So
probably sign a defender.
Oh, well, we have got 1 billion injured, but they're no excuse.
You got that too.
Tomiyasu, Ben White, Calafiori.
Don't go through that list.
Saliba.
Here it goes again.
Yeah, that's 2. I can count. But anything else, or shall we move on to Chelsea Wolves and then Man versus AI?
Nothing else from me, thank you.
No.
Cool. Chelsea Wolves, Mitchell, take it away.
Yeah, we had some shots and we scored some goals. Thank you. I've seen myself out.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Well, not me, because that's not what's happened in the last few weeks. Like we said earlier, Chalobah's come back, and he had a very good game, and he made a very, very good tackle in the opening 5 minutes where it stopped, I don't know, it was having a one-on-one chance with Wobbly Sanchez. Jackson, you know, he's like Chelsea from last season. Where is he?
I mean, he did score.
No, he didn't.
It was just disallowed.
Oh. Don't do that to me. I was like, I knew I missed a little bit, but I'm sure he didn't score. What was I going to say? I can't remember if Caicedo came off injured or not. And I think Enzo Fernandez is injured.
I think Caicedo, I think Reece James gave the captain's armband to him, is what I heard in the car. Like,
oh, right.
When he was 3-1 up. So yeah, I think he stayed on.
He was
on.
Down for quite a while because there was about, I think, 6 or 7 minutes added in the first half. Because, like I said, I think he's our big player. If he gets injured, that's the one where we'll struggle. Enzo Fernandez must be injured because he weren't even on the bench. And Kieran Dewsbury Hall was playing next to Caicedo.
He started as well, didn't he?
He started,
Probably, probably first or second Premier League start for him.
Yeah, well, we haven't needed him, really. Unless we have him in the B team. or the C team. Jesus. What happened in the end of the first half? The equaliser. Yeah, because it was classic Chelsea in the first half. Very strong 30 minutes. And then a wobbly last few. And they got their equaliser on the 49th minute. And it was Sanchez. All he had to do was catch the ball. It's simple, rudimentary, 101. He jumps up in the air, the ball falls into his gloves, and then he slowly watches it fall out of his gloves. And then someone just slots it in. Honestly, and I just thought, here we go. Here we go again. It's just the Christmas period hasn't ended yet. But second half happened, and we did all right. We got two goals. Can you believe it?
Dear.
I started to panic with my prediction, but it worked out all right. And yeah, Cucurella, everyone's favourite. He got the second goal. And it was a very good goal. It was a great, great ball from Madueke into the box. And I did think at the time, he takes it down well and he slots it into the back of the net. And I'm thinking, if that was Jackson, he'd have hit that at the keeper or over the bar.
Here he goes again.
I'm sorry. Right.
I mean, it worked out at the start of the season, didn't it? He gave him shit after shit after shit, and then he started scoring. So
I need to bring that back.
Yeah, but he was scoring in the interim as well. I think the difference is now that he's just gone full shit, and he.
Oh, he's none in six now. I think he is
better than Antonio, apparently.
Definitely
at the moment. and then Palmer's free kick at the end. It would have been a Chalobah goal, but Madueke runs in and steals it. He didn't need to do it. He's a thieving little bastard. I'm glad he went fucking offside because I would have lost my shit. And then it was 3-1. That was it. Look at that. We held a lead. We didn't concede. That rhymed.
You did concede.
I mean, you did concede.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, held in the second half because that's when it all goes to shit. We normally have a very bad second half.
You did have that low again, didn't you, in the last 10 minutes? It was exactly like you said, 30 minutes, and then at the 80th minute hit, and all of a sudden, Wolves looked like they were potentially going to score again. Obviously, they didn't. But
yeah, and I think that compounds week by week when you're having a bad run, because you know, you're getting in your head, and you know, you're like, well, this has happened probably the last 4 or 5 weeks now. You know, is it going to continue to happen? So I'm hoping that's the end of the rut. You've got that win now. You can move forward from it. It's just unfortunate. The next game is against City and they're starting to play well, so we'll see. But I've got no more. I'm happy with one. I'm happy we kept the 3-1 and I'm happy I said 3-1.
I've got nothing to add because you're spoiling Man versus AI as well, Mitchell, mate. Calm
I
shit.
Said 3-1. I didn't say Man versus AI. Come on.
Well, come on, mate.
Okay, no.
I've got nothing to add. I didn't watch it, so I can't really talk about it. So, Chelsea fans.
Well, apparently not.
Maybe you need a reminder about the win games, you know?
Oh, sorry. What's that? Buying games? Was that?
If it gets your results, mate, yeah. You've got to do something, haven't you? You're just in Welsh town at the moment.
Losing 12 games in a season is pretty bad, isn't it? But let's move on, eh?
Is this a French aid at Tottenham again? Because is that all
you... No. There's other teams in the league that have lost 12 games.
Is it? No, that's all right. But again, still not winning a season.
Yeah, but West Ham have only lost 10.
Ipswich have lost 12 and they're in the bottom three, so you're doing better than them.
Cheers.
Well done, Luke.
That's all right. I mean, they are one of your 12 losses as well, aren't they?
More than likely.
They were. You were their first win.
Oh, you didn't need to make it. Apparently.
I'm going to stop for
between the lines there, Mitch.
I'm going to stop for a minute. Let's just go into Man versus AI because I'm having too much fun. Welcome back, Clive.
Man versus AI. It's all right, mate. It's all right.
Back, Tom.
All right, so massively is, yeah. So we've got two lots of results to read out and predictions to read out in terms of midweek game and weekend game that we haven't touched on yet. So I'm just going to run through those quick, give you a little look at the table and then get your predictions for the next game. I might not do rational on predictions tonight because it's getting late. All happy?
Yep.
Wonderful. Right. So AI predicted Arsenal 2, Tottenham 1, got 3 points. AI predicted Chelsea 2, Bournemouth 0, got 1 point. No, 0 points. AI predicted West Ham 2, Fulham 1, and it's got 1 point. So total 4 points in the midweek fixtures. The weekend fixtures, it predicted a 2-1 win for West Ham, so got 0 there. Predicted a 2-1 win for Arsenal, got 0 there. Predicted a 1-1 draw between Everton and Tottenham, got 0 there. Predicted a 2-0 win Chelsea against Wolves, so got 1 point. Bob predicted a 1-1 draw with Fulham, got 0 points. Predicted a 2-1 win against Palace, got 0 points. Clive predicted a 3-1 win against Tottenham, got 1 point. A 3-0 win, sorry, against Tottenham, got 1 point. Tom predicted a 3-1 win, got 1 point. Clive predicted a 2-0 win against Villa, got 0 points. Tom predicted a 3-1 win against Villa, got 0 points. Luke predicted a 2-0 win against Arsenal and got 0 points. Luke predicted a 2-1 win against Everton and got 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 2-1 win against Bournemouth, got 0 points. He then has redeemed himself and predicted a 3-1 win against Wolves and got 3 points. As it stands, AI is on 65 points. We, as the humans, are on 51 points. So 14-point gap. Luke, mate, you got to fucking start kicking in here, mate. Start predicting a couple of losses, please.
Be sensible.
Luke is dragging us down, isn't
it? It is.
I'm not going against my team, mate.
Your team's going against your team.
Yeah, well...
So, Mitchell has regained the top spot in the league on the 16 points. Bob, 15 points. Clive, 14 points. Luke, 6 points.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell, Luke.
Tom is on 4 points. Tom's 2 points behind you now. So next predictions, please. Bob, Aston Villa away. What are you saying?
2-0 Villa.
There you go, sensible man predicting a loss. That is locked in. Clive, Arsenal v Wolves, Arsenal away. A bit rocky at the moment. Still feel good enough for a win. I'm going to go 2-1 win. Mitchell, Man City away. What are you saying?
Man City 1, Chelsea 1.
I don't think you've predicted a loss either, have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
I think, do you know, I think it was against West Ham.
Oh, well, you might be right, yeah.
No, you predicted a draw for that.
Right, Luke. This is the reverse fixture of the first one you made us all laugh at with your out there prediction. Tottenham are at home against Leicester. What are you saying? Do you want me to remind you what you predicted for the first game of the season?
I'm probably got 4-0.
I think it was 3-0.
Yeah, that's close enough. We'll go 3-0 again.
I knew you would. I knew that was going to go you into that.
Oh, no, no. I'm going to go 3-1. I'm going to go 3-1.
You're going to give him a goal. Jamie Vardy's going to get his.
But more than likely, yeah. Fucking knobhead of his fucking monster or whatever it is at half time.
Red Bulls, bro.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Both bad for your heart. The guy's a cunt.
Right. So, AI with no rationale, so no jazzy music, please, Mike. Quite a boring one this week. Wolves 1, Arsenal 2. Motherfucker.
I'm glad you said it.
Same as me.
Sorry.
Chelsea versus Man City has gone for a Man City 2, Chelsea 1. So, City home win. Tottenham versus Leicester. Any guesses?
1-1, I reckon.
Probably 2-1 Tottenham.
If you was as good at predicting what it's going to predict, Bob, you'd have 3 points. It's gone 1-1 draw.
Hey, 3 points for Bob.
Villa versus West Ham, it has gone for a 2-2 draw.
Okay.
So there's some points to be made there by us. If West Ham lose, if Chelsea draw, and if Tottenham smash Leicester. So anything's possible.
Quickly before we go, Luke, I'm taking you up on that BFC bet. It's game on.
New BFC bet. If West Ham finish above Tottenham, you owe Bob a BFC. Bob owes you a BFC.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. No what if threes, no extra. Any final words for this week, guys?
Yeah, Sol Campbell's a cunt.
What a hero. If we had time, I was going to ask you for transfers, but we haven't got time. So if any of our clubs sign anyone, we can talk about it next week or something. Cool. Well, I'm happy to be back. I actually look forward to recording.
We're glad to have you back, Clive.
Thank you. And again, nice tie there, Mitch. Well done, everyone, whilst I was away. Luke. Being out there, mate.
Wait, you say you had a nice tie?
No, I said nice tie to Mitch because he said hello.
No, it was only because you were in Thailand. Nice tie. That doesn't mean you're not.
He's tired, everyone. He's tired. All right, we'll call it a wrap. Night.
Call it a wrap. Night.
You missed the night.